Are you ready to continue the postmortem on the Celtics?
Oh, yeah, I am. I am. Sadly, the season is over, Jones, but there is quite an off season to kick off here.
It is. Brad Stevens gave you at least a little bit of an acknowledgement. They blew that series against New York.
Yeah, at least he did that.
At least he came out
the
and
first
said,
two games.
We blew the well, it's true. The first two games, he did say that. But that was the series in retrospect, like not to let him off the hook for everything they did after that. But that was the series, like big acknowledgement from him yesterday.
Yeah, because if they were up 3-1 and they still lost Tatum, don't you feel like they could win one more? Like, yeah. I think they can. I mean, they proved it. They beat the Knicks one game without
Tatum.
Oh, yeah,
they were up 3-1 after 3-1. Four games. Yeah.
Now, you know, watching game six play out, maybe they get smoked by the Pacers or something, even though we were talking ourselves into taking them. But, yeah, I mean, it comes down to the first two games of the series because Tatum hadn't gotten hurt yet. Jaylen Brown had been dealing with an injury, but he's had some really good games. And you had big leads in both those games. So that's what it came down to. So at the very least, Brad Stevens identified that.
So we'll get into some of this today on Jones and Keefe with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text line. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. There's a lot on the program today. It's a Tier Tuesday.
Yes.
We're going to tear off the Celtics trade value. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
At 11:30?
Yeah. Well, they got a lot of guys. They got a lot of things they need to get done. They got to get under that second apron, we've been told. So
most
how are they going to do it?
Valuable, least valuable trade assets at 11:30. It's a Tom E. Tuesday. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, live at Patriots OTAs. Speaking of which, Mike Vrabel going to talk today at 11:45. We'll hear from him, and we have a Kiefer Madness at 12:45, as we do every Tuesday, so stay tuned for that. Plus, two for Tuesday on WEEI. You want a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Red Sox and the Orioles? Stay tuned for it. You can do that coming up. First opportunity at 10:30. It happens all day long here on WEEI. It is also the day of the match.
Yeah, it is.
Between
it's
Greg Hill
out there
and Chris Scheim. I wish Greg luck. I couldn't do that with Scheim since he's not here today.
No, but he's got to, I guess, meet him over at the course. He did call in. I heard him call in.
You were telling me that.
Yeah, he's very confident.
Is he?
Yeah, he's very confident.
Okay. Should he be? Have you ever golfed with Scheim?
You know what? I don't think I have. I don't think I've ever golfed with Scheim.
You ever seen Greg play?
No.
Okay.
I'm not a big golfer. I go like once a year, maybe. We used to have like a station tournament.
Yep.
Or not a tournament, but yeah, I guess it was a tournament. And it's like a scramble. That's where I'm best seated.
Yeah.
You can drink a bunch of beers, use one of my shots every nine holes, and then call it a day. That's where my game is.
Right.
But it's interesting because Greg's playing it one way where he is making up a ton of excuses. Like, it's a lot of excuses.
I did hear a good amount of that.
Scheim, meanwhile,
sore
thinks
backs.
He's going to, like, dominate.
Right.
So, I don't know. I guess maybe if that's how it plays out, then so be it. But if it's the other way, holy smokes.
Yeah. Which way would you play it?
I think Scheim's going to win.
Oh, you think Scheim's going to win? No, I'm saying which way would you play it if you were in this thing? I think you got to go in just talking a big game.
Well, considering I'm a horrible golfer, I would probably just be like, I am going to lose. I'm going to for sure lose this unless I get like 10 strokes from the person in over nine holes. Then I really have no chance. But Greg knows the course. I don't know if Scheim's ever played this course. So that to me feels like a pretty significant
edge. That's a big advantage.
Was this dog leg left or right? Like, I don't know.
Look at your little card.
Yeah,
look at your little card there.
Look at that.
Take a look.
I bet Scheim's the guy with the binoculars. You're like the guy in the group that's got the binoculars that has like the distance on it?
Yeah,
I bet that's Scheim.
Size that up.
Yep.
Space that out. So you're going, you think Greg's.
I think Scheim.
I'm sorry, you think
wins.
Scheim's going to win?
I think Scheim's going to win.
See, I have no clue just the way they were talking about it.
Though. Yeah, right. They kind of sway you.
Well, just apparently they've seen Scheim play, and he didn't do very well. They've seen Greg play, and he looks to be the better golfer. So,
but
just
Greg
judging
says
off,
he's coming off the worst round of his life on Sunday.
I don't know what's going on
That's
there.
That's jarring.
Well, do you think the match is in his head a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
I think that could be a mental thing where he was, like, bracing for it, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, the match is here, the pressure's on, and he had the worst round of his life, allegedly, on Sunday.
That's
that I don't like.
No, not at all, because I don't think, you know, he's probably golfed a lot, but how often has he gone one-on-one match play against somebody that is talking a lot of trash? Probably not often.
I don't know.
Probably not often.
I don't know.
And so the pressure is on.
I saw Greg is installed as a heavy favorite. I don't know how we came up with that or calculated
no
that.
No clue.
But I saw Greg as a heavy favorite at -300, so I would acknowledge.
I like the juice.
I think the smart bet is Scheim. I think there's some value in the Scheim side of the bet. But if Greg's that heavy of a favorite, I'm just gonna, if it's just a pick, I'm gonna pick the favorite.
No, I didn't ask. I don't know if it's like a skins game or if they're just straight up playing the nine. Like, could this end before nine?
Oh yeah, I think so.
Like, if you're up, Dormy, I believe is the golf term.
I heard Greg drop that yesterday.
Did he drop the Dormy?
I was loosely familiar with that term.
I don't know. I do watch the Ryder Cup, so they have all different ways of playing. So every once in a while, they'll
I'm not a math guy. I've never fully gotten it.
No idea.
But yeah, right. Is it stroke play or is it just how many holes you win? Good question.
I don't know.
I thought.
Yeah.
Listening to Breece call in this morning, Greg's son, that I think they're going hole by hole. I think is how they're doing.
Okay.
It. The winner of X amount of holes.
And then Jackson is the victor. Jackson's going to be Greg's caddy. Curtis is going to be Shime's caddy. Do you see an advantage there either way?
Sizing it up? It seems like advantage Shime. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That seems like it. I mean, no offense to Jackson. That seems like an advantage Shime
no,
there.
No.
Yeah.
All right. But so anyway, they start at high noon, and I've been told we can do picture in picture. So we can, on Twitch and on YouTube, we can give you live updates of the match, and we can kind of commentate. They won't be able to hear us unless they're cranking the Odyssey app, which I assume they would be.
Yeah, you're out there on the course. On the course. You listen on the Odyssey app like I imagine most people do.
I assume they would.
So, okay. So we'll be getting into that around high noon on the show. We'll be checking in throughout. Hopefully, if their round is done, we'll have an opportunity to hear from them.
Oh, real quick. It doesn't start until noon, but if you hear this sound, that means we're going to give you an update.
Hello, my friends.
So that means if you hear Jim Nantz and then the golf ball swing sound effect, that means we're going to give you a live update from the match.
That means we have an update.
So if you hear that, that's when you know we're about to update.
Don't be alarmed.
No.
Don't get confused.
Oh, they're talking to Nantz? No, we're not talking to Nantz.
Now watch this drive.
All right, so how's that sound? Just so people know.
Just so they know.
How's
they
it sound
this.
When we have an update again?
Hello, my friends.
Yeah,
very professional.
Now it's time to let you know who won the first hole.
Yeah.
And then we'll just move on back to our show talking about Celtics, Red Sox, whatever else.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys can discuss that all day long. Again, it's 617-779-7937. Let's get into a few more answers yesterday from Brad Stevens. I found interesting. Him and B-Rob went back and forth a little bit on the CBA and the limitations. Let's see if we get any insight onto what changes could be coming for the Celtics based on this answer from Brad.
Hey, Brad. For next season, you guys have a historic amount kind of committed to the core plays. I know it's a unique situation, as you alluded to, with the transition. When do you expect to have an indication of what your limitations, if any, you'll have for next season?
We'll talk about all that stuff in the next few weeks.
How tough is it? There's not just that uncertainty then right now, not having kind of
communication. Listen, we've been talking about this for years, right? I mean, the CBA has been well known for years. And so there are penalties associated with being at certain levels. And we know that. And you just weigh that. You weigh where we are, you weigh everything else, and then you make those decisions. But those are, you have to have the clarity of a full season and a full playoffs. And like I said, a couple of good night's sleep, and everybody gets in a room and put your heads together and figure out what's next.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by the BetMGM Network. For all your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM Network on the Odyssey app or locally on WEEI AM 850.
Hot off the presses, move aside Brad Stevens. Don Sweeney has agreed to a 2-year contract extension as general manager of the Boston Bruins.
Well earned. He was able to get once they got that first round pick for Marchand. Once he hit his minimum, once he got the extra games played or whatever, they're like, "You need a 2-year deal.
You can't keep getting away with it."
What? More Sweeney. Well, this was a good year.
Yeah,
they had a good year.
No, it's true. It went very well.
They traded the whole roster away. They're an absolute mess.
It's good insight from Joe Hags on Twitter.
Always.
Bruins and Don Sweeney announced a 2-year extension for the GM. Smart to take care of him now.
Yeah.
As they search for a head coach that's going to want to know the guy who is hiring him as job security. So that makes it smart.
Yeah, smart.
I guess it's a good
move. Good call.
It's a smart,
this guy's been crushing it lately. He's got the Midas touch, the Don Sweeney. So a huge draft coming up for him, but that's
God, please no.
Now I'm not surprised by this. I know a lot of people are reacting like, "Are you serious?" But they brought him back. Jacobs came out there and gave him a full defense when they at the trade deadline. They had the written statements, and then afterwards that press conference, which went on for like 2 days. Mm-hmm. Jacobs, Neely, and Sweeney up there just feeling the heat. Like, those guys did get pressed. And they defended Sweeney, so he wasn't going to go into a lame duck year. So I'm not shocked by this. I just do think it is kind of glaring for fans that are like, you fired all these coaches that have been crushing it. This guy has not. And he, not only does he stay, but you're extending him.
Can I just tell you, what horrible PR by the Bruins to wait until a random Tuesday afternoon to do this? Like,
tuck
this in the middle of like a Celtics playoff game. The Celtics just finished. You're in the spotlight. Like, horrendous.
Yeah. Guys, talk about PR. Us.
Yeah, like, why would you do this?
Yeah.
Bury this on a Friday night. And we'd probably rip you for that, too, and be like, oh, they're trying to hide the news. But at least you'd kind of bury it. This is right out
at
there in the middle of nowhere
for them.
Yeah, I mean,
do you want just some of the Twitter responses to the Bruins post?
Yeah. Are they like Joe's? Are they different?
They're not like Joe's.
Oh, okay, good. No. It's not a smart move. The Bruins fans don't.
Brian on Twitter just wrote, why?
Yep.
JB said, so more bad trades, bad contracts, and failed cup runs? Sounds like a good time. David says, W for the rest of the Atlantic. Jeremy says, LMFAO, we are never going to be good again.
Okay. Our text line.
A bunch of GIFs and memes.
Yeah. Just reacting to the news. All caps, yuck. Holy stupid effing.
Yeah, people don't like it.
Poop.
I don't think
you. Great, let the sucking continue. I do like this one from Dice. I thought the breaking news was Greg threw out his back warming up.
The match is on.
Yeah.
Now, the match is on, and Don Sweeney just got a two-year extension, and you and I both had ruled out a Brad Marchand return.
Yeah.
For anybody holding out any kind of hope at all that he would return, this would certainly end that. He traded him, wouldn't give him the money. It was this group that was butting heads with him. It was Sweeney and Neely that were putting their foot down. Maybe Jacobs as well. Probably Jacobs as well. But it's not like a new guy comes in and is like, we'll take Marchand back.
No. Florida just traded for Marsh.
No, you traded Marsh.
You traded.
Florida traded for Marsh.
So I'm with you. I'm not surprised. I mean, I didn't expect to wake up today and read about a Sweeney extension and have it announced in the middle of the show. I guess I'm surprised at the timing of
but
it.
The
and
lame
it seems like poor
here,
yeah, but they weren't. You knew at that Jacobs press conference he was ultimately going to be the guy in charge.
Yeah.
Should we read into 2 years at all? Like, that's not exactly throwing a ton of support behind him, which I guess if you want like a silver lining in what is bad news, it's bad news. I don't want Don Sweeney here, but if he's going to be here, it's only a two-year deal, which means really, I mean, what? He's going to be on the hot seat already going into this year? Oh, does he have the...
No, well, like two-year extension. It's through the 27-28 season.
It is. Why did I think he was up?
Well, no, this was his last year.
Right. I thought he was already up. I kind of thought he was at the tail end of his deal. So he still had the year left.
No, yeah, he had 1 year left, but I think it's still like that's you're going into your last year. And
so that's not even the silver lining I was hoping for. Not even the silver lining I was hoping for.
So technically 3 years, but then if you want to play that game out, it's really 2 years until once again you're in this situation. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but he played out a lame duck year.
See, that's what I thought.
He's done that once before.
And maybe that's why I thought they were doing it again.
Yeah.
And, I mean, look, they just did it with Montgomery. They're not afraid to go into lame duck years with people.
Because, like, the draft has been one of his biggest issues, obviously. And you're not going to know if this draft pick is a hit or a miss for a couple years, right? Like, this contract might be over. And then you're like, oh, that guy is really good. Because they're not picking one or two. So I don't think you're going to get a guy that plays immediately anyway. Like, you're not going to know how bad the draft is. But, yeah, they got their offseason cut out for him. And he's got to hire another coach. And all those guys, even though I know Cam Neely was, like, shouting down reporters a couple weeks back about – or, no, Sweeney himself actually was, too, about this is an original six teams, one of the best jobs in hockey. People want to play here. They don't care if it's me. Like, well, they're still going to have questions about why all these other coaches who got snapped up immediately
– they should.
Coaching playoff teams – why, you know, why would I have any kind of job security?
So they should ask those kind of questions. 617-779-7937. Don Sweeney extended as the GM of the Boston Bruins 2 more years, which is now meaning 3 more years of his tenure in Boston as the GM here of the Bruins. How do you feel about it? What's your reaction to it? And what plans should the Bruins have this offseason? We'll mix that in.
Yeah, Joe's great. Joe's done a great job. I don't think anyone in coaching ever thought it was certain. So I think uncertainty is what you sign up for in some ways. But listen, there's so many things that go into winning and losing. And, you know, coaching's part of it, right? But, you know, playing, circumstances, injuries, you know, whatever the case may be, there's so many things. And So that's why I think it's so important to, like, I know how hard their jobs are, and I've felt for Taylor and for Mike, you know, and obviously talked to both of them. And but every year, you know, good coaches get let go, and they're way better than everybody talks about them. I'm just telling you because I coached against them. They're way better than everybody thinks or knows. So, but that's the reality of our situation because that's the way the world works. And then, you know, there's other coaches that are really good too that'll get their opportunities. And, but yeah, we're lucky that we have Joe here. We're lucky that we have the staff we have here, and we're thankful.
That was Brad Stevens yesterday discussing the future of Joe Mazzulla. Done a good job. Doesn't sound like he's going anywhere, Keith. We expected to spend a lot of time on that today. But we've had Bruins news as well.
Big news.
Don Sweeney not going anywhere. No. Two-year extension with the Bruins, as you said earlier, because he's done such a good job.
Yeah, I mean, it's rolling right now. Arrow pointing up on the Bruins.
Okay, I mean, we knew this because Charlie Jacobs basically told you as much when we were sitting there. And Cam Neely, by the way, defending Don Sweeney's drafting. Like, we had a pretty good idea this was coming. We really should have known at the trade deadline. When Don Sweeney got the green light to just sell off pieces left and right, that meant ownership was on board with that approach, and we probably should have known then. We didn't want to know it. Maybe we didn't want to deal with that reality, but we probably should have known then something like this was coming.
Well, this group over the last few years, they've sided with the players over the coaches, but then ownership now this year has sided with front office over players. Hence, you know, Brad Marchand, one of the more beloved players here, and wanted a little bit more money. They put their foot down, and then they traded him away. They didn't even let him play out the year. They traded him away. They traded away a ton of other players. Right, so the first real opportunity for Don Sweeney to be a seller, because they've always been a playoff team under Sweeney, which they will tell you. They will highlight that.
They'll remind you, yeah.
The win percentage and all that stuff. So his first opportunity to be a seller, and he did. He sold a bunch of pieces. And then right after that, fans were pissed off, and the first thing you got was Charlie Jacobs being like, we like Sweeney and Neely. Like, these guys are committed to the future, and we're going to be a cup contender again. And you're like, oh, they're not going anywhere.
This is how you lose a job. The fact that he's going to have a job after this is insane.
I agree, Brad. That is pretty crazy that he's getting not only a job but an extension.
So, yeah, I don't know, you know, how many coaches – can a GM hire? Like, what is the record for coaches hired?
We're about to find out.
Yeah, I guess so.
We are well on our way.
It might be.
To finding out. So you guys can react to Don Sweeney extended, which, again, I didn't expect to wake up and see the news today, but I don't find it overly shocking. It's disappointing. It's very frustrating. Yeah. I know you're angry about it.
Uh-huh.
So you can talk about that on the phones here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get back into Brad Stevens, Red Sox winning without Alex Cora, but it's a 2 for Tuesday on WEEI.
What is it?
It's a 2 for Tuesday. 2 for Tuesday.
Let's roll.
Be caller 9 right now to the contest line. 617-931-0937. And if you have today's code word, you'll score a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Orioles on May 24th at Fenway Park. Again, caller 9 to the contest line. 617-931-0937. If you have the code word, you'll get two tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Orioles May 24th. At Fenway Park. Good luck there. We'll get to all your Bruins reaction here on the Don Sweeney extension. Mark in Medford, why don't you get us going here today? What's up, Mark?
I hate it. I hate it. I freaking hate it. Okay? I really thought the Bruins were going to wait to see what happened this next season coming up and then make a decision on Sweeney. I don't like it. I'm sorry. And is it true that there's rumors that the teams are calling about Swayman?
Yeah, did you see this, Keith?
No.
So Elliot Friedman had this.
Who's calling about Swayman?
He basically phrased it as teams are doing their due diligence.
Yep, got to at this time of year.
Basically, the way that Friedman, and I read this earlier today, I can try to find the exact wording, but basically the way Friedman worded it is teams are doing their due diligence because they saw the team blow it up at the trade deadline, and they're like, hey, what else are you looking to move off of? And teams are asking about Swayman. But to this point, the Bruins obviously haven't shown any interest.
It'd be a real sell high for Swayman.
It would be.
Who had a better year, Swayman or Sweeney? It's kind of hard to tell.
Ooh, I think Sweeney.
Probably Sweeney,
I think
actually.
Sweeney, actually.
He was able to get some picks and stuff back.
I wouldn't have rewarded him with an extension. Yeah. I still would have gotten rid of him at the end of the year, but I do like what he did. He did the right thing at the
deadline. So is the reason to sign him to an extension, you know, most like managers, general managers, I get it. You don't want them going into a lame duck year. That can be tough. But sometimes they're really not worth an extension, and you do want to play it out. So is the main reason because you just like him? You think he's great at his job? Yeah. Is it because
they believe in him? I think that's the main reason. I think so. And
I don't know if it has to do with the head coach hiring or if it has to do with free agency. Because to me, free agents aren't really going to look at, is the GM signed long term? They're going to say, how much money am I getting? Like, is this a spot where I can play? Money and opportunity, or whatever, like Vrabel said. Yeah, that's what the players would want. The coach may be a little bit different. But
the coach is different. I think a coach in a lame duck year, you shouldn't do. It's dangerous. You're setting yourself up to get yourself in a lot of trouble, which correlates with the Missoula clip we were playing earlier. Like, is Missoula going to get an extension? You know, can you maintain control over the room when the whole locker room knows you're about to be out? We saw it play out with Montgomery last year. So I think a head coach is way different than a GM lame duck year.
I also mean, does the head coach interviewing with Sweeney, does it impact him and his decision at all, knowing that Sweeney is a lame duck?
Well, that was what Joe Hags said, and I don't know. I'm sure you'd rather have security if you're a head coach taking the job, but it sounds like already, and maybe it worked against them with some of the other guys, Tockett didn't choose to come here.
Yeah. But I would also say I would push back on that and be like, oh, great. The guy who hired me is going to be here for 3 more years. I feel safe. Why would you feel safe?
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Jim Montgomery won the most regular season games like ever, got fired. Bruce Cassidy got fired.
Most GMs, you would want the security and being
you're
like,
you're probably better off him gone.
No,
I want you to be a lame duck.
I want you going into your last year. I'll take my chances with the next guy.
The next guy might like me more than you.
Great point.
All you do is fire coaches.
A coach paying attention.
Yeah.
Would say, wait a minute.
Not an advantage.
Don Sweeney all of a sudden has security. I'm in trouble, and I haven't even coached the game yet.
Right.
Good point.
Don't want it. It actually works against you.
Why do you think they like him? Meaning the Jacobses and Neely? My guess is it's that.
Yes.
The Jacobses trust Neely, and Neely likes Sweeney, so that's why Sweeney stays here.
Agreed.
And honestly, Neely's a good, you know, life preserver for Sweeney. I mean, he takes a lot of the flack for Neil, like a lot of Bruins fans are pissed. You were reading all the tweets earlier.
It's funny though, because
I think he insulates Neely to a degree. I mean, I'm not saying Neely gets no criticism, and Neely going way out of the way to defend Don Sweeney's drafting track record and going back and forth with Kevin Paul DuPont and then calling Dupes into the office after it, I think was embarrassing. But I think Sweeney gets way more of the flack than Neely, and I bet Neely probably likes that.
Yeah, although, for as popular a player as Cam Neely was, and as popular as he was certainly following the 2011 Cup, like, what do you think Neely's Q rating is? I think
it's low.
In a room, he's more popular than Jacobs and Sweeney, but I don't know, Bruins fans are pissed, and rightfully so.
And he's taken a hit from where he was 10 years ago or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, big time. But I do think that's why Sweeney comes across as safe as he is because Neely likes him, and they're still kind of holding on to that, being like, all right, he's our guy. That's who you want. Let's just keep changing coaches. But at some point, you got to stop changing coaches, and you have to look at those guys.
Yeah. Do you think they're having trouble hiring a coach just based on who they've blown out the last couple of years?
Yeah.
Like, do you think people are hesitant to take the job?
Yeah, because it's not just, a bad team fired their coach. Now, this year, they ended up being bad. But they fired Cassidy and even Montgomery. Like, it really bottomed out after the trade deadline, right? Like, we were like, oh, they're underachieving. But it wasn't like Montgomery had a last-place team at the time he was fired. I think all these coaches know. They all say the same thing. Hey, you get hired, you get fired. Like, they all get it. But when you're a team that has had some success and has made the playoffs, you're probably wondering as another coach, like, that doesn't seem like a great spot. It seems like I'm just going to be the fall guy once again.
So there's that, and it's also now all of a sudden, what are they supposed to be next year? Like, what? Like, they're not.
No, I don't know.
It's not like, I'm coming in and I'm taking over a talented team. At least that's not how it looks now. Let's see after free agency and whatever moves Sweeney makes, I guess. But right now, it doesn't look that way. They finished poorly. It's not a high pick in the lottery. The ping pong balls didn't bounce their way, as we saw a couple of weeks ago. So there's no reason really on the ice to be bending over backwards to take the job. And then, right, let's say you even have a successful year or two. You could go to a cup final, lose it, and get fired. You could win the most games in NHL history, go to the playoffs, and then get fired. So I wouldn't blame a coach who's not itching to take the job. And I guess I hadn't really even thought about that, but I wonder if that's working against him. It probably is.
Yeah. I got one other nugget for you. I don't think it qualifies as breaking news, but just to throw it on the hopper here. Chad Kraft?
Oh, Chad Kraft.
Jordan Hudson has told at least one person that she and Bill Belichick are engaged to be married. Congratulations.
And that's coming from Kraft. I mean, Kraft.
Yep. Yep.
Ow!
Yeah.
I got to be honest. I didn't expect this. What happened?
Actually, maybe he's just, there's a New York Times reporter that has a whole story. So he might just be taking that from her. That might not be his story. But Jordan and Bill are engaged, according to this reporter.
Okay. Yeah, no, I see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, who is this New York Times reporter?
Katie
Rossman?
Yeah, Katie Rossman.
Okay. So they might be engaged, according to...
That's right.
One source close to Bill and Jordan. Well, what a news day. What else are we going to get today?
I mean, I don't know. We're not even 40 minutes into the show.
We got a Sweeney extension. We got a potential engagement with Bill and Jordan. We got the match.
How do you think he popped the question?
Probably while they're doing airplane.
Probably very romantic.
Yeah.
Doing airplane on the beach.
Fisherman outfits.
Yeah.
Something like
that. He's like, hey, that CBS morning interview went so well. Will you do me the honor of being my wife?
I mean, she was pretty ride or die in that interview. Maybe that was a moment for him where he's like.
He was really turned on by that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I like you having to speak for me.
I mean, look, it kind of blew up in his face. Yeah. Although, did you see the story yesterday?
Do you think she orders his meals at, like, when they go out to the restaurants?
Yeah. And he'll have
the
soup. He starts ordering, and she's like, no. Yeah.
The soup. Bill, no.
The soup. I'm going to blow on that.
She's like, I have a cheeseburger? No, Bill. Bill, no. He'll have the soup again.
No, do you think she's going the other way, though? She's like, all the red meat you want. Yeah. You guys have a pack of cigarettes?
He'll have that.
Yeah.
Two Boilermakers? For my friend here?
Yeah, no, she's not watching out for his health. She's going the other way.
That's fair.
Is how that's going. But no, I could see him being...
really romantic.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I love that. But also, you know, the CBS interview kind of being the moment for him where it all crystallized.
Man. Yeah.
It's a ride or die chick.
He's like, you're the one. I've known you the one.
Good question. Do you think Bill knows they're engaged? Great question.
Who's to say?
Yeah,
she's kind of in charge. It's a good point. Like, so,
but okay, well, good for the young couple. They seem like they're going in a very healthy direction.
The headline of the story of the New York Times is Bill was always in control, and then he met his girlfriend.
All right, we'll have to dig in
on
that.
Fair enough.
A couple other things here from the text line.
Yeah, what do you have?
Where did it go now? Where did it go?
Jumping on you a little bit?
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
People seem to really like the Sweeney extension.
Well, no, here's where it was.
Okay.
I am 46. I've been following Boston sports my whole life.
Frag.
I watched less Bruins last year than I ever have in my life, and after today, I may skip the season, no joke.
Out on the season.
We have other people saying they might buy Utah hockey jerseys, which are pretty styling. I can't blame you for that.
They couldn't go Yeti, though. Disappointing.
I would tell you, people are real down on the Sweeney move. You know that. You can discuss at 617-779-7937. We'll follow the news on Jordan Hudson and Bill. potential congratulations are in order.
Oh, yeah.
And we should get to the Red Sox as well. Their best win of the year? One of the cleaner wins of the year for the Red Sox last night. Just happened to coincide with their manager being absent. Let's get to that next.
One out, one on. Top nine, the pitch. On the ground, could end it. Hamilton to his left, to second for one. Relay to first, double play! Ball game over. Chapman slams the door shut. Ramon Vasquez filling in for Alex Cora. Gets a high five in the Red Sox dugout. He made all the right moves tonight, and the Red Sox win the opener from the Mets 3-1.
Red Sox get a win last night without Alex Cora.
How about that? 1-0. Cora's at a graduation party.
Very, very, very interesting that the Red Sox play what I would call a relatively clean game yesterday.
Yeah.
They did make an error. I think it was Abreu had an error. But you get a strong pitching performance out of Dobbins. They score three runs. Doesn't sound like a ton, but it's the most that Senga's given up all year. And most importantly, they get a victory without their manager, which has not come easy this year. So we can get into that. 617-779-7937 on a Tier Tuesday. We'll tier off the Patriots' most valuable assets, Celtics' most valuable assets, rather, coming your way about 40 minutes from now at 11:30. It's also a two for Tuesday. You'll have another shot to win Red Sox and Orioles tickets at 11:30, so stay tuned for that. Two big stories out there today as well. A lot
Holy
of breaking news.
Mackerel.
And we're going to reset both at 11. But the Bruins have extended Don Sweeney two more years as their GM. And according to the New York Times, Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson engaged.
Lovebirds.
She's
these two.
Let me get the wording right again. She's telling people they're engaged.
Yeah, that's apparently what the report was on Twitter. It was like a New York Times report.
Yes.
Yeah, saying that they are, she has.
Jordan Hudson has told at least one person
yeah, so what is,
that she and Belichick are engaged to be married.
Yeah.
According to the New York Times. So there
I mean, love is in the air.
Yeah.
Jones, it's spring. You know, birds are out there.
Makes sense.
Bees. I don't need to explain all that to you.
No.
Well, a little bit.
You think that was part of the agreement, though, when she's like, look, I'm hiring a new PR person, and she just went. Yeah. Bananas.
He's like, whoa, yeah, good point.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah.
He's like, you're still COO of Belichick Industries, but let's also get engaged. She's like, fine.
Okay, fine. I can't
get what I want.
I can't pick your wardrobe and interviews yeah. and yep. interrupt and boss everybody around, but we're no. engaged.
Can I fine. Go to North Carolina games? Like, no, not really.
Money, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So maybe that's what's going on.
She might buy some more real estate to celebrate.
I would imagine it's already yeah. in the works. So again,
do you think that's gonna be like a star-studded wedding? Do you think it's going to be like, because it's her first wedding, I think.
Yeah, you never do know.
Because sometimes when people get married the second time, I feel like maybe they do like, hey, let's be a little bit yeah, reserved. Let's... But if one of the people involved, it's their first, you kind of have to go big.
Yeah.
Like she has to have a bachelorette party. Bill gets to have a bachelor party. You don't think he gets one?
I don't know.
I bet he does. Mike Lombardi throws it for him. These guys getting after it. Probably on Nantucket, I would assume.
I would assume, yeah.
Good spot.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what you mean by high profile. A lot of TikTok influencers and things like that.
Yeah, on her side.
Yeah. Real star-studded affair like on his side, yeah.
LT, Tom Brady, not Kraft.
No, definitely not Robert.
Yeah.
No chance.
No.
So you can react to both, the Sweeney extension and the happy news for yes. Bill and Jordan, 617-779. 7937. Is it fair to draw a line and look at the Red Sox last night and say they look pretty buttoned up without Cora?
I mean, it's one game, but it is. We've had a lot of questions about Cora this year and his commitment to winning. Like, he's made some really head-scratching decisions. The Vladimir Guerrero one stands out, you know, not just putting him on first base and letting one of the best hitters in baseball beat you. But then there's been a bunch of other ones where he's kind of left pitchers out there a little long, and you're like, what is this? Like, where are we going with this? Also,
see, that's to me is what stood out specifically about last night.
Like, yeah, Dobbins, they went in there, took Dobbins out in the fifth inning. He was an out away from getting out of the fifth, but they're like, nope, we're not going to do it.
They weren't going to let him go a second time through the order.
And then Wilson got a big out.
Which is like, again, that's just modern analytics, right?
But yeah, that might not be a
But I feel like Cora's been asleep at the wheel on that a lot. Like, we just talked about it with Bayo. He stuck with Bayo forever. Those Houck starts, he stuck with Houck forever.
Oh, my God.
Last night, they weren't doing
it. Houck still hasn't recovered.
And he also, he eventually asked Slayton to get four outs. But Wilson comes into the game. He didn't ask Wilson to get four outs. He didn't ask Weissert to get four outs. I've been critical of Cora for sticking with Whitlock too long and Weissert for too long and asking too much out of some of these relievers.
Yeah.
That didn't happen last night. So that to me, if you're asking me what I would point to say, well, what was different without Cora? Yeah. That. Quick hooks with the pitchers, the starters specifically, but even the bullpen usage. I thought he had a good night.
It's been a bad year for Cora. I mean, this team finally has high expectations. They're playing under .500 baseball. He has kind of played Switzerland in the whole Devers situation. He's like, oh, that's a, you know, Breslow and Henry and those guys can deal. He's like, you're the manager.
I think he's been pro Devers. You think he's been in the middle? I think he's been way too far on Devers'
maybe
side.
He has been on Devers' side, but I feel like he wants both sides to be like okay with him, right? Like, I think he wants to be like on Breslow's side, like sort of defend Breslow and obviously his boss Henry, but then also, yeah, he's definitely defending Devers, but he doesn't want to be viewed as the bad guy from either party, is how I look at it. And so it's like, all right, well, maybe this never would have gotten as out of hand if you were more hands-on about this or if you communicated all this a little bit better. So there's like a long way to go in the season, but tonight will be game 50, and it has not been good for him.
Well, and let's see how it looks tonight.
Yeah.
It's Walker Buehler. Is that officially announced or no? I think it's kind of been mentioned he's expected to start. I don't know if they officially announced that.
Is Cora definitely back?
Well, I don't know what. It depends
on like a double party.
Depends on how the graduation party went last night.
Yeah, I think it is. It's
you gotta sleep one off.
I think it's Bueller and Clay Holmes.
So does Cora stick with Bueller for too long? Does he go to relievers for too many innings like he's done again? He's done it with Weissert before, which didn't happen last night. He's done it with Whitlock a bunch. So I'm curious to see how that goes, and I'm curious to see just how the team responds in general against the Mets, who, by the way, as good as they've been, are not playing great baseball. We should point that out.
No, they can pitch, and their top three guys, at least on paper, are, I don't know if you get much better in baseball, 1-2-3 in a batting order. And they're good. I mean, you're right. They're not playing their best baseball, but they're, what, 10 games over 500 or whatever? They've been solid this year.
No, they have. They've hit a bit of a rough patch for them. I think they fell out of first place for the first time in a while. By the way, I don't really think you knew this watching the game. I did notice at the end, Red Sox fans were like waving goodbye to like a flood of Mets fans on the way out. I don't think you could tell on the broadcast because the Mets never really had much to cheer about last night.
No.
But apparently it was all Mets fans.
Yeah.
Carrabas had a tweet, more Mets fans at Fenway tonight than there were for the Bronx Subway Series.
Oh, jeez.
So, I don't love that.
That's not ideal.
I don't love that. No. I don't think you could really tell on the broadcast, but apparently the people who were there, it was flooded with Mets fans last night.
Gross.
Not great.
Don't like that.
Not great. So we can get more into the Red Sox, how'd they do without Alex Cora. Juan Soto, by the way, is getting panned in New York.
That was a long single.
I don't want to give ownership too much credit for like not spending money.
I mean, he pimped that single, though.
Did they? Oh, did he ever?
He watched that whole thing.
And it's like the back page of the New York Post today.
Yeah, they're on. I mean, they did give him quite a bit of money.
Juan Slomo, I think, is what they called him.
Juan Slomo.
For not running it out.
Not bad.
And I guess that's happened quite a bit with him. He's not producing, so did they dodge a bullet with Juan Soto? We can get into that. Let's reset the big stories, though, that came out during the first hour of the show. The happy news for Bill Belichick and Jordan. According to the New York Times, she's told at least one person they're engaged.
I don't know what that is.
So I'm going to take that to mean there's an engagement going on. Good for them.
That's awesome.
And Don Sweeney gets a two-year extension from the Bruins. All your thoughts on it at 617-779-7937. We'll give you ours as well next.